I would really describe this is atomic situation as a sort of atomic downturn, which happens from time to time in any country when there are some economic shocks that may affect the macroeconomic issues of the country. For us in South Sudan, we experienced three economic shocks. One of them was in 2012 when we had this oil shutdown. The second shock happened after the December 15th crisis, where we had security issues that stopped the oil production, where most of the oil pipelines had to stop pumping oil to the sea. The third economic shock happened in the middle of 2014, when the oil prices fell sharply in the global markets. So when you put these shocks together, and when we put into consideration that 98% of our revenue comes from oil, then automatically we'll have an economic downturn, without any doubt.
Yes, a lot of blames have been put on the central bank of South Sudan. A lot of the people talking right now and listening to the program that will as well ask you questions later as we continue have been saying the central bank of South Sudan have been mismanaging the country's funds or economy. What will you like to tell the person who is listening right now? Are these blames justified? Are they right to actually say that the central bank is to blame for the current economic situation?
Well, I would really dispute this fallacy, simply because the management of the economy is not only done by the central bank. Most of it is done by the Ministry of Finance, by the physical side of the authority. The physical authority comes from the Ministry of Finance. That is the authority that manages most of our economic activities in the country. It's a question of the budget, if it is a question of demand and supply, if it is a question of production, all these go with the Ministry of Finance. Our part, the monetary part, is simple, is small. It can really affect because our mandate is to see to it that there should be what we call the price stability and the monetary stability. But when things go bad all over the country, it becomes difficult for us as an entity to manage the whole economy of the country. We don't manage the whole economy of the country, we manage part of the economy, and that is the monetary side.
Yes, things came to worse in the country here as we speak right now after the central bank decided to flood the exchange rate of the hard currency to the South Sudanese pounds. That's when the South Sudanese pounds began losing its value. And this is purely from the central bank decision.
You know, when we had this shocks and the oil revenue became less and less, the government had a problem of what we call fiscal deficit. The government was forced now, because it couldn't cover its budget, to borrow from the central bank. And this borrowing triggered a lot of economic variables, one of them being that inflation had rise, prices had rise, and the pound depreciated. Just imagine that before we could float, the parallel market rate was about 18 pounds against a dollar when our fixed rate was still 2.9. So already the pound was already depreciating nearly every day. Secondly, because of the lack of reserves, we were unable to defend the rate we had, that is the 2.9. We could not defend it. So that's why we decided to float it. Float it for us had some advantages and disadvantages.
Yes. Before you talk about the disadvantage or the advantage of this floating, the ordinary current citizen right now is looking off this only disadvantage because they don't see any advantage. Things are extremely expensive. You did mention that this also, the floating was because of the parallel market. The parallel market in the first place is not supposed to exist. How did we get to this, Deputy Governor, where parallel market is competing with actually the official exchange rate of the central bank?
Well, parallel market rate exists simply because we did have enough reserves to put to the market when there's high demand and we cannot satisfy that demand, automatically there will be another market that will come in. And that's the pallet. That's where pallet market rate came in. It's because we had high demand in the market. At the same time, we didn't have enough supplies and we didn't have enough reserves to cover that demand. So what happens? When we are controlling, when we're using this fixed rate, we had restrictions in the foreign exchange activities or operations. Those restrictions went out, and caused this parallel market rate. It's because we could not cover all the demand in the market.
But where is this money coming from? Others are saying it is from the central bank that actually goes through individuals to the black market.
Oh, that's been a very, an accusation that has been there for a long time, but it's not really accurate, I would say, because the Bank of South Sudan has limited resources, and those resources are meant only to cover the obligations of the government. There are other sources that can bring in dollars. You have foreigners who come with the dollars. You have got investors who have dollars. You have got even some of these UN agencies or NGO agencies pay their staff in dollars. But these staff, sometimes they go to the market and sell their dollars to get SSP for their daily expenses. But it's not only the central bank. Central bank, I would say, has nothing to do with the black market. Although this has been a very recurrent accusation that the central bank is flooding the market with dollars.
Now, Deputy Governor, you did mention that the central bank should not purely be blamed for the current economic situation in the country. Now, when we go back and look at things to do with the letter of credits, the Auditor General described the audit report that is possibly the worst that any auditor can give about Central Bank of South Sudan. Clearly, the Central Bank of South Sudan had all this to blame because there's been no whatsoever consistency when it comes to the balance sheets and the books are not balanced. There's all this money that is not known where it is in millions that cannot be traced. I mean, what will you say with all this evidence clearly pointing an accusation on the Central Bank of South Sudan, and also when it comes to the introduction of the floating exchange rate, where the country right now is literally in an economic meltdown, they say?
Thank you, Mr. Sabit. I'll go first to the first one, that is the LC credit line. This credit line business started in 2012. It's true, it was initiated in the Central Bank when we had this issue of the oil shutdown, and our reserves were diminishing, and we had a problem with importing goods and services to the country, because as you know, South Sudan is an import dependent country. We import nearly everything we consume. So we thought of contacting some banks that would offer us a credit line. Credit line means, in a sense, the Bank of South Sudan would get some money for trade finance. And this we did with the CFC Stanbic. It was very successful because by then it was only limited to the central bank administration. Now, when we came to QNB, there were problems. Government agents were saying that they should get involved in the credit line allocation. So what we did, we removed the administration from the central bank to the Ministry of Finance, because they were the ones who were complaining that there was inconsistency in the distribution and allocation of funds from the credit line that were meant for businesses to import goods and services to the country. So we did this. Responsibility was now pushed to the government agents. The Ministry of Finance formed high-level committee to allocate this money. From that time on, the Central Bank of South Sudan washed its hands completely from this distribution. Yeah, we would get the money from QNB, say a tranche of 100 million, and then would come down now to tell the government or the government agencies that this is the money. The money was given to the Ministry of Trade, Under Secretary Ministry of Trade. That was the only thing we could do, just to give them the money. And then sometimes we would give some money to the states that were affected by the war. But also it goes back to the committee. It's the committee that was distributing
money. But do you agree that actually this letter of credit initiative has been mismanaged?
Well, I cannot say that, because, as you say, the report came from the Auditor General. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any copy. But what we know is that from that time, the allocation was exclusively the responsibility of the government agents. The central bank had nothing to do with the allocation.
The Auditor General's report is generally for the 2011-2012 year, which was actually presented to Parliament last year. And they have cited a lot of inconsistency from the central bank, not only the letter of credit, but a lot of inconsistency in a way that, you know, some money have been, as I said earlier, money have been sent to some banks or borrowed but cannot be traced.
The central bank never borrowed money. But by then, we had accounts with our correspondent banks in different countries. We had accounts in Kenya, in Europe, in other places. When auditors came to audit our books, what they found out that some documentations were missing from those transactions which we were using, transferring funds from here and there, because by then we had an idea of investment. We were investing money. This money was being invested to get some money for the country. So there were a lot of transactions moving from here and there. Secondly, we had a problem with some of our staff members in the bank, especially the accountants. Some had no debt experience. Posting was also a problem. There were some accounts or some items were posted wrongly. Some were double, some were posted completely wrongly. And when the auditors came, those items which were now hanging could not be reconciled. But the auditors were asking, why could we not reconcile this item and that item and that item? But for them, they thought probably there was people were trying to embezzle money. There was no embezzlement in the real sense. But it's a question of posting. Wrong posting, a lack of documents. That was the issue they told us about. But this question of embezzlement or borrowing in their management letter was never told to us.
All right. Just, I would like to ask you this. You've been saying the bank, you said maybe just because of a sending of this money, misposting and the rest. But to be honest, to what extent has the central bank contributed actually to this economic meltdown?
We didn't intend, or we shall never intend, to contribute to the meltdown of the economy. No entity in the country will ever, or has ever intended to cause the economic downturn. It's only an issue that is outside our jurisdiction and our responsibility. But I would say, which I will not really deny, that when we decided to float the rate, the intention was also very good. We had so many reasons to do that. The first one I told you, that we could not defend the SSP because we had no reserves. The second one would be, we were thinking of creating what we call a level playground, because by then some rent seekers were able to access the dollar in the central bank would buy a 2.9 and they would go and sell at 18 in the black market. So we thought of leveling the ground so that everybody, either we lose all or we gain all. One. Number two, we thought this one will also curb the demand, because the demand was too high. Because when the price is low, the demand becomes very high. When the demand was, when the price was 2.9, everybody wanted dollars. So we thought of raising it so that the demand becomes lesser. Thirdly, we thought that other organizations like the IMF, the World Bank, and other international institutions would come in to self-adjust. And this is what is happening now. After we made the devaluation, the IMF is now interested to extend some relief to the country, and they're working on it now, assuming that before the end of the year, we may have a program with the IMF just to help us with this this measure.
Now, what monetary policy are you putting in place to recover this current economic situation?
Well, we have so many monetary instruments that we are working on. But before I go to this, I would like to say that the only thing that will salvage this situation is to get more dollars to work to make sure that oil production goes back to its pre-crisis levels. This is very important. To pray that prices in the world should also rise. To also diversify our economy. Because, you know, we are not alone now with this issue of the crisis. It's all over. It's in Nigeria, in Angola, in everywhere where people depend on one commodity. When that commodity has a problem, when the prices fall, that country is always in turmoil. This is what is happening all over the world now. So we must diversify our economy. This is what we've been talking since then.
Yes, of course.
So the monetary issues, instruments are many. One of them, we know now that there's a lot of liquidity in the market. That's why some people are ready to buy dollars at any price because of this liquidity. So we are trying to target the reserve money in the market. In the sense that we have already started to increase even the reserve requirements from the central, from the commercial banks. We have now increased it to 20%. That should not be used by the commercial banks, so that the money supply should be less, because money supply is also another culprit that in fact can cause inflation, can cause prices to rise, can also cause the high market rate.
Yes, just before we go, because we left like with around less than 8 minutes, we want to know a lot, of course, when we talk to government officials, they've been saying the country is broke, we don't have money. Now, central bank, tell us, do we really have foreign reserves right now? Do we have money?
For the time being, otherwise, if we have reserves, we wouldn't really hide our reserves. We would give it to the country and would reduce the parallel market rate or the prices. But unfortunately, the reserves we have are not that much. They're not that much.
How much are we talking about?
Well, I wouldn't really say that, but it's a question of, 5 weeks import cover. This is our language.
Five weeks
import cover.
So after 5 weeks. Can you explain that, 5 weeks import cover? What does that mean to the layman?
Well, it means the reserves we have may cover only the import of 5 weeks.
And after that, we cannot be able to bring anything unless we get more money.
And after that, of course, you know, the market is full of goods now. This is what we know. It's only because the prices are too high. But I will not even try to shock the people that after 5 weeks, there will be no goods in the market. The goods are there, but the question is the price.
Deputy Governor, earlier in the morning, I asked about people to send in their questions, and there are a few here. One is from Chief Salfa here in Juba, and he's saying he wants to know from you, where is the country going to? Where are we heading in terms of the economic situation? Maboralet asks, what went wrong? How did we get ourselves in this situation? And the other said, a lot of blames have been put on the government, the central bank governor and the office. Why not just resign if you cannot do the right work? Those are some of the questions. Can you just answer them quickly?
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Sabit. In regards to what Madok said, yes, it's true. People have been very expectant of the peace agreement, especially after the formation of the transitional government of national unity. But, you know, it's not so easy that things can just, you know, come up so fast like this and things go well. There are other issues that need also to be tackled before we really come down to think of real peace. First of all, we have, I told you before, we are not talking with the IMF, and they are also talking to other donors. Other donors are also coming to us now, as you might have seen on the TV, Mr. Donald Booth of the U.S., the U.S. envoy has come to the president and he has been promising something for us. Peace by itself can also reduce prices, because people will go back home, they will go and cultivate, and we are happy that this year rains are promising. So I think all these can bring down the prices, can bring good life to the people of the South Sudan. The central bank is just a small part of the management of the economy of the country. The country is managed by the government, by the Ministry of Finance, and not the central bank. The central bank is managing very little thing out of this economic situation of the country.
Right.
So we couldn't be blamed on that alone.
All right, honorable.
And I said before, it's not only South Sudan, it's the whole country. The whole world. Countries that are having problems with commodities are all suffering.
All right.
You got yesterday that the Nigerians also had their Naira devalued. And even in Angola, people are rushing out of Washington asking for relief.